we were in the right place at the right time, and we got our sales strategy right, got our marketing strategy right.
All the while, you must tell your story, and you must be focused on serving them.
It's not real necessarily outcome. It's the knowledge that you gain, you know, while you're facing these issues.
We get so caught up in trying to do everything at once, where success is simultaneously not sequential.
Welcome to the Ajax Union B2B Marketing Podcast. On this podcast, we interview CEOs of the fastest growing companies in the U.S. Our goal is to find out what they did to grow so fast, what business and marketing strategies they used to have explosive growth. And now your host, Joe Applebaum, CEO and founder of Ajax Union, a B2B digital marketing agency in Brooklyn, New York.
Laura Kozaluzic is the CEO of Quest Workspaces. Now, Quest Workspaces was featured on the Inc. 5000 as one of the fastest growing companies in the U.S. this year. And when speaking to Laura about her shared office spaces, she told me that Quest Workspaces communicates their value proposition through their sales team. They focus on client retention and providing an experience that is something their clients won't want to live without. And when I asked Laura, like, how did you grow the business? What did you do? She said that the grassroots business development efforts really helped Quest Workspaces to find partnership opportunities locally. You can also listen to this interview to learn more about how HubSpot was really helpful for Laura to create sales funnels and understand what was working and what wasn't. Let's begin the interview and learn more. So welcome to the Ajax Union B2B Marketing Podcast. My name is Joe Applebaum, and today we have another amazing business on the show. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Joe.
Good to be Laura, talking to you. You were featured in 2017 on the Inc. 5000 as number 3,800. How'd you manage to get that like clean 3,800?
pure luck.
So you run a business called Quest Workspaces, and you did, in 2016, it says over here, you did $11.6 million in revenue, and your three-year growth was 77%. Tell us.
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us about your business. What do you do, and why do people do business with you?
Sure, that's a great question. So what we do is we provide co-working space, shared private offices, conference facilities, virtual offices, and we're very fortunate to be in an industry sector that is experienced tremendous growth. And with that, unfortunately, you know, we also have experienced a lot of competition. So it's for us, it's really, really, really important that we're very focused on developing a strong brand and that very strong service experience, and then communicating that very clearly to our customers. And I think that's what's helped our growth. But you know, the other thing is when I set off to start the company, the plan wasn't to be number 3,800 on the, you know, the Inc. 5000 or to experience 77% growth. It was really just about serving the markets that we're in the best possible way we could, and just more focused on the customer experience. And then the growth sort of followed.
That's fantastic. That's really incredible. So what do you attribute your growth, your business growth over the past 4 years? Is there anything specific within what you just said that was like the driver of growth?
Yeah, I think, everyone has strong opinions about what the best way to grow their business. You know, for the way I see it is that it starts with your marketing, and, you know, with strong marketing, then you're able to generate, you know, strong leads. And then from generating your strong leads, then you have to make sure that you can actually communicate what your value prop is through your sales team. And then from there, once you've actually turned your lead into a real customer, then, you know, most of our focus is on the client retention and providing that experience that is just, it's something that they don't ever want to live without. And then in effect, you're retaining clients. And in our business, what most people don't realize, a lot of people see it as a real estate industry, a real estate sector, thinking that people sign long-term agreements, and then once you have your customers, they're there for a long period of time. For us, we provide such flexibility that if they don't get the value out of the experience, then you're not going to have the retention. So that's also a critical component of it. So we see it as sort of the full life cycle, and you have to, for us, we see it as you know, you have to do each component and each part in a very purposeful way and driving those results. And then when you get that, you know, you perform and your growth, you know, I guess you end up on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. So who do you serve? How are you? I know that Regis serves a very specific industry, a very specific type of client. And then WeWork is completely different. So who is the most ideal client for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. We call our clients questers, and the ideal quester is someone who cares about service. They also care about community. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we're focused on not just providing the physical office space, but really, like I was saying, providing that real experience. So, you know, it's creating this place to work where people want to come to the office. And that's not just in terms of how we're serving them on an administrative capacity, but also just the fact that, you know, we're providing a fun, you know, energetic space with a great vibe. And, you know, we're filling it with people that bring that same level of energy, not just in our staff and our team, but also in our other Quest coworkers. So, you know, that for us is really, really important. So there's somebody that's going to appreciate that, understand that, and want to be part of it. And, you know, it's a very discerning customer. And the reason I say that is that they tend to be entrepreneurial. However, we also serve larger corporate clients as well, but they're more seasoned in the sense that they know what they want and they know what they're looking for. And it's not just, you know, free beer or, you know, a chair and a desk.
Cool. So like my mother's a real estate agent. You'd be happy to serve real estate agents. Do you do a lot of real estate agents?
Oh yeah, we do. Yeah, actually, in South Florida, we do have a lot of clients that are that are in the real estate business. It's a, you know, it's a pretty popular business in South Florida, and for a lot of small real estate offices, we're a great option because they don't have to invest in the infrastructure. They don't have to invest in having a receptionist or someone answering their telephone. So, and you know, it's not just the experience that we're giving to our questers in terms of being in the physical space, but it's also the experience we're giving their guests and their customers. So, you know, we believe that those first impressions are really, really important. And it's our job to create that best first impression for our clusters and our clusters guests. And so for someone that has a smaller real estate firm, or even that is an agent with a larger firm, working out of our spaces, you know, can be ideal. Plus, for example, like in South Florida, we have several locations. So people often use several offices based on where they're meeting or where they're working or where their customers are.
That's awesome. So now that you grew your company, did you use a sales team to grow your business, or did you rely more on traditional marketing or digital marketing? What was your method of growth?
Yeah, you know, I would say it's both. You know, I wouldn't. It's funny, the way I look at it, you know, to me, sales and results, it comes down to a numbers game. So, you know, if you've got amazing sales conversion, you know, meaning for every lead you're converting it into a close, you know, that's fantastic. But if you don't have that many leads, you're not going to get the end result numbers that you're looking for. You know, on the flip side, you can have an amazing sales funnel, right? And the best marketing in the world. But if you don't have a capable sales team that's able to really clearly communicate, you know, what you're offering, then you're also not going to achieve the great success. So, you know, we approach it from both angles. So I'm always looking at how do I generate more leads? How do I spread the word? How do we, you know, in that respect, we look at it several different ways. Like, you know, digital is really important. SEO to us is also very important, and making sure that we have a large presence on the web. But then there's also this grassroots sort of business development initiative that we have locally, where our sales team is also responsible for business development, and it's their job to find partnership opportunities. You know, for example, we just opened a new location in South Florida where we partnered with the local bar association. We offer them up a complimentary office for all their members. We host their events. We very much believe in it's okay to, you know, the more you give, the more you tend to get back. So wherever we can help local groups and, you know, share what we're doing, the more it tends to generate more lead trust. So that was a kind of a long-winded answer to your question, but I guess it's from both ends. And then even when we look at the marketing, there's several different facets to the marketing that we make sure that we approach in a strong, in a strong, purposeful way with a lot of intent and really knowing the audience we're going after.
That's powerful. So I was speaking to a lot of Inc. 5000 companies, and one of the things that I noticed that many of the companies are sacrificing bottom line results to be able to grow their top line. Now that you got your business to where it is, are you focused more on revenue growth now moving forward or more on bottom line growth?
I could think both. I mean, I always look at it both ways, because for me, it's, you know, sometimes as a, you know, as a growing company that's trying to scale, you sometimes reach those inflection points where in order to get the company to the next level, you need to make investments, right? Whether it be investments in assets or resources. And we're willing to make those investments as long as we see that there's, you know, the return is there. So I don't know, you know, I think in the early days, you know, for any entrepreneur, when they're first starting a company, it's all about survival, right? Like that's at least what I was experiencing. The first year of business, you know, I started the company with $50,000 of my own investment. And month to month, it was all about, oh my God, are we going to be in business? We're going to be in business. And, you know, so you had to make very difficult decisions on the way. I think once you get to that point where you're stabilized, you have strong margins, you've got great growth, then it really becomes, you have a little bit more luxury to make investments that can take the company to the next level. So we're always looking to do that, but we approach each one of those decisions really prudently, because I think that's where a company can get hung up and make mistakes as well. So I don't ever want to lose that kind of scrappiness that we had as a smaller startup as we're approaching this next level.
That's awesome. That's really amazing. So what marketing strategies, now we talked about your business and your growth, what marketing strategies did you use to grow your business? Did you use SEO, PPC? Like, what did you focus on? How much did you invest? What type of results were you getting?
Yeah, I think so initially, and it's changed over time, but initially for us, what was really important was getting the word out in terms of who Quest was, you know, that we exist, that we are, you know, really credible, you know, quality option for people. And so initially we were very focused on PR, because we felt like people didn't know who we are. So the PR was very strong. SEO has always been strong and has stayed strong. We also work with a lot of referral partners, meaning others that have a strong online presence that can refer us leads, and then we pay commissions to those groups as well. So, I guess the answer really, it's as crazy as it sounds, is really all the above. Like, to this day, we're constantly looking for, you know, new sources of leads. And, you know, what we've also found is that over time, as your business builds and you're affecting more people and more people understand what the experience is, then we've been able to shift a lot more, or I shouldn't say shift, but we're receiving a much greater percentage of our leads from referrals. And I think that's natural with any business, is that, you know, I think that the first concern needs to be like, you know, how do you kind of do this shotgun approach and really make sure that people know who you are and what you're offering. And then you get to sort of become a little bit more focused in those areas that are working for you. So, I would say clearly though, now the digital presence is probably the most effective and the greatest source of leads at this point, along with the referral.
And are you doing it in-house or using agencies? What's your method of getting it done?
So, you know, we found as the size company that we are, and I don't see this changing in the near term. You know, we tend to outsource most of those disciplines that aren't our core competency. So, you know, we're not experts in accounting. We're not the experts in terms of the digital marketing. We, you know, graphic design and those types of things. It doesn't, in many cases, I've found that it doesn't support having those groups in-house. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't augment the expertise that we get from our vendors in those areas, meaning that, you know, we'll say, you know, give us the blueprint, work with us, and then we put our salespeople are also our business development guys. And we also, you know, it's funny, a lot of companies, I think, at the size that we're at, they don't necessarily tap into their people as well as they can. So most of our team, they may have one specific role, their main primary role and responsibility. But if we find that someone has a specific talent that can be used in a marketing capacity, then we all of a sudden they get another job title and they're wearing another hat, and they're then working with our vendor to help sort of leverage what we can accomplish in that respect. So to answer your question, we use vendors for the expertise, but then a lot of the grunt work, we try to provide that for them as well, because we have those resources in-house.
So how do you measure return on investment when it comes to doing your marketing? Do you feel like you have a very good handle? Like if you spend $10,000 a month, do you feel like you know what you're getting back?
I think the most honest answer to that is that I feel like we have data, and I think our data is getting better. I don't think I'll ever feel 100% satisfied with, in other words, being able to track the direct results of a campaign to the actual measurement of the result, because I think it's sometimes there's just so many variables at play that it's very, 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 very difficult to get it exact. But it's something that, so I would say that where we are today versus where we were 3 years ago is a huge improvement. Will I hope that next year that we are even better able to track it? Yes, I hope so. And we've, you know, in the last year, we've also, we've implemented HubSpot, which has been really, really helpful in helping us not just create sales funnels and be able to sort of guide the marketing a little bit more, but also to be able to understand, you know, what's working for us and what's not.
As the CEO of a fast-growing company, how involved are you in these sales funnels and getting involved with the sequences and the logic within HubSpot? Are you like, do you get your hands dirty with that stuff?
I do. And I don't so much in terms of the programming and actually creating it, but in terms of conceptualizing, you know, where the logic behind where our business can come from all the time. I mean, I'm always thinking with that. I think that, you know, probably every CEO has their, you know, their strengths, the things that they probably enjoy the most. And for me, the sales and the marketing piece of it is probably what I enjoy the most and probably what I'm strongest at. So I get involved as much as I can.
No, that's incredible. I love when you get down and dirty. A lot of CEOs that I speak to are not tech savvy, and they're like, "Oh, I just have my people do it or whatever." But the fact that it's in your sandbox, it's in your wheelhouse, and you get it and you understand the strategy—that's pretty amazing. Congrats.
Yeah, I think I know enough to be dangerous, and I've heard that from my team. But as a CEO, I think one of my biggest responsibilities is to constantly question. So, you know, whatever we've built and designed and we think it's working, I see myself as the person that's got to constantly step back and say, if this is working really well, what if we tried this? And what if we tried that? And is this possible? And can we do this? And, you know, so where I think a lot of my team is sort of, they're in the thick of it. I step back and so when you say get down and dirty, it's more from a questioning standpoint of what's capable and what can we achieve versus necessarily building it. You know, I have a really good, strong team that's more than capable of doing that, much better than I am.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Congrats. So were there any mistakes that you learned from your marketing that you maybe tried to do something and it was a colossal mistake? Like, did you ever make any big investments that totally did not work from a marketing perspective?
No, luckily, I don't think we, you know, I've started companies prior to Quest Workspaces, and I've done them with larger partners. And in the past, what I've learned is that in my opinion, it's best to start small, and you can tweak along the way. So this time around, I can't really say that we've made any colossal mistakes. You know, I think that, well, I will say this. This is probably the one biggest mistake that we made from the marketing standpoint, is that we designed a website that was non-responsive. We had a vendor do a website for AI. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And at the time when we decided to build a new website, it was when there was some talk about it becoming important, that it needed to be responsive. But, you know, sometimes, you know, being a smaller growing company, you're in that scrappiness, you're looking to try to get the best results for the lowest cost, right? And in that case, if we would have known better, then we would have made the investment in building a responsive website. So, you know, unfortunately last year we would have scrambled to, you know, convert over to a responsive website. The end result wasn't necessarily exactly what I wanted. So, you know, in that respect, I think I would have made a bigger investment in that area and sort of built it better. So that was one thing I learned. You can't really mess around with your website. Your website has to, and still to this day, like, I think, you know, that's something that we're going back to sort of reevaluate and make some changes to it. So
taking your website to the next level, what advice would you give someone entering your line of work about marketing and growing, especially because you're so savvy?
Well, you know, it's funny that you asked that question, because that question actually came up with a group that we're going to be partnering with and managing a co-working center for them. And I think because of everyone seeing the valuation and the investment dollars that WeWork is getting and the growth that's there, I think that there's this mentality that I'm finding in the industry right now, is that, you know, you build it and people are going to come, and the dollars are going to fall from the sky and the seas will part, and, you know, the people will be rushing into your locations. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. I think that, you know, it's, we're in terms of our industry, we're in a very competitive landscape right now. And unless you really have a niche and you really understand who your customer is and you really have something compelling to offer that is unique and special, and you can articulate it and you can communicate it well. And, you know, just like all the things we just discussed, you have to be able to get that message across in several verticals and several different ways and appeal to a large enough audience, and then not just, you know, communicate what it is that you're offering, but then actually, you know, get the results, get over the finish line, turn them into customers, and then retain them. It's not, you know, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of detail. And I think that would be the one thing that I tell people, is that it's almost like, I used to own a restaurant years ago, and, you know, people used to make the same mistake, and they would say, gosh, you know, I'm thinking about opening a restaurant because I love to go out to eat. And it's, what people don't realize is all the devil is in the details, and being able to deliver that amazing service experience in a consistent manner, which is difficult to do in any service industry. So that would be my advice.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So let's talk a little bit about yourself. What are some hobbies and passions that you have?
I love so many things. I love traveling. I love adventure. I'm a snow skier. I'm a water skier. I'm a scuba diver. I climb mountains. Anything that involves learning something new, experiencing something new. So I've been described as like a thrill seeker. Not so sure I would say I'm an adrenaline junkie. And I think I may have been years ago, but not so much now. I enjoy people. I think it's one of the reasons I love traveling so much, is just the more you travel, the more you realize that most people are the same and they have the same basic needs. And I love, you know, I have passion for a lot of things and a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm. So I like to be active. I like to be very active.
Keep moving. People in motion stay in motion.
Let me say, if you're not growing, you're dead.
Yeah. If you're not growing, you're dead. You're not dying, you're dead. So what do you plan on doing to leverage this prestigious award of being on the Inc. 5000?
You know, it's you know, you and I talked a little bit about this before. It's something that we're extremely proud of. And, you know, it's a great honor and it's nice to be acknowledged for the work that you do, you know, but I think, you know, because I'm very hands-on, and I, before starting Quest Workspaces, I was actually an executive with Regis many years ago, and I was part of a group that grew the company very large, and I had, you know, 1,000 employees, a very large region, and what ended up happening was I became so far removed from the day-to-day business and, you know, the customers and seeing the results of the great work we did with them. And, you know, for as much as I am, you know, there's that excitement with growing. And I think entrepreneurs are wired to grow. I mean, it's exciting. And it's like, you want to see, if you feel like you're doing a great job, you want to have a larger effect on more people, whether it be your team, your customers. But at the same token, I love going to work. I love what I do. And I love the fact that I know most of our questers. And the fact that I'm also involved with a lot of them and their businesses and how they're growing their businesses. And, you know, that to me is like the greatest satisfaction. So, you know, we'll see. I think that, you know, as long as we my original purpose for starting the company, like I said, was to be the best in the markets that we serve and do the best job we can possibly do. That's never going to change. That's always going to be ahead of just adding locations. But when the opportunity comes to add the locations, we will, because I think we offer something great.
That's really phenomenal. Thank you very much for being on the program. What is one final thing that you want people listening to this to know about you or about business or life or anything?
I don't know so much of anything about me, but I think, you know, for anybody listening to this that has that burning desire to start their own business and start their own company. And, you know, I get to work with a lot of people that are in that position. And I don't think I've ever met anybody that's ever regretted it. So I would say go for it. You know, get, you know, half the time, more than half the time, I think what holds people back is fear. So, you know, get over it, get over your fear, get over yourself, and just go for it, make it happen. And, you know, the worst that's going to happen is you'll learn and you'll know that you gave it a try. Like for me, the biggest fear is not trying something than trying it and not having it work out the way you want. So
that's phenomenal. That was a great answer. Thank you very much for being on the program, Laura. And hopefully we'll see you again very, very soon.
All right. So thank you. Great meeting you.
Thank
you. All right. Bye-bye.
If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to share it with a friend or two or three. And remember to leave a 5-star review so other people can enjoy the podcast as well. You can reach me, Joe, at amazing@ajaxunion.com, where you can send what questions you want me to ask the next batch of CEOs that I'll be interviewing. I look forward to hearing your feedback. And remember, stay amazing.